Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
On Sundays, I do live streams where I sit down and I chat with viewers from around the world. And if you're ever around at 1 o'clock on Sundays, Eastern time, go onto YouTube and look me up and jump in and we'll have a discussion. So one of the guys who talks to us all the time on Sundays is Duncan in Melbourne, Australia. And I believe for him, it's like Monday morning when he checks in with us. But he said, Steve, you know, you did this story recently about the restaurants suing over the insurance denial claims regarding claims filed because of COVID. And he goes, down in Australia here, things get handled a little differently. And he goes, you might want to check this out. And it's an interesting story from abc.net.au. Insurance giants are facing COVID-19 payout class actions after stuff-up with contract fine print. Business reporter Amelia Terzone wrote the story. And a stuff-up, of course, is an Australianism. But furious small business owners are vowing to fight to the end against Australian insurance companies in an increasingly heated battle over pandemic payouts that is likely to drag on for years. There are now at least five legal firms investigating potential class action lawsuits against the insurance industry over denial of business interruption policy payouts during the pandemic. Litigation lawyers, however, will not have an easy time of it, with the insurance sector vigorously defending paying out a liability that they now estimate could be over $10 billion. It's going to be a fight to the end, Michael Herman said. He's an Australian small business owner. He owns a bicycle tour company in Sydney and has seen his revenue drop by 95% since this all began. He said revenue loss is due to a combination of hard business lockdowns and the loss of international tourists as Australia's borders remain closed. When COVID hit, his business, Banza Bike Tours, had a business interruption policy with CGU, which is a subsidiary of Australia's biggest insurance company, IAG. Business interruption policies were designed to financially bail out companies when they experience a major disruption to trade, like a fire or a natural disaster. Despite making a claim and involving the financial complaints regulator, Herman has so far been unable to receive a payout under his business interruption policy for his revenue loss during the pandemic. He said, every time I've made a claim, they've waited the last possible day to respond. IAG did not comment on the specifics of this case. And one of the problems that people will tell you with insurance companies is that if you suffer from a disaster that's covered by insurance, your house burns down, right? You file a claim with the insurance company. The longer they wait to pay you, the more desperate you might become to accept a settlement. And I've spoken to lots of people who tell me, they say, you know, I got the impression they were dragging it out, hoping they could break me down. So in a statement, a spokesperson of the insurance giant reiterated a statement that the entire industry is standing firm on. Our policies weren't written or designed to provide cover for a pandemic, so we need clarification on how they should be interpreted in light of the impact of COVID-19. That's an IAG spokesperson speaking there. Now, here is where we get a clarification on this. That's the question at the heart of the debate. Last year, the industry's lobby group, the Insurance Council of Australia, took a test case to the NSW Court of Appeal. The insurance industry paid the legal costs of two small Australian businesses, a Tamworth caravan park and a Melbourne health food shop at the center of the test case. The insurance industry lost. So they actually said, let's do a test case and see what happens. So they did a test case and they lost. So the question is, now what do you do with the test case? It was a unanimous ruling, by the way. So five judges heard the case. It was unanimous. And they said, and now again, this is where it's not going to be a direct parallel to the United States. But they said that the policies in Australia have to kick in because many of them do not cover revenue losses due to diseases declared to be quarantinable under the Quarantine Act of 1908 and subsequent amendments. But the Quarantine Act was repealed in 2016. So this is a great example of where the policy is going to be yay thick. It's going to have all kinds of fine print in there. But they drafted it. The insurance companies drafted it. And they actually excluded stuff that was affected by a statute that was passed in 1908, but was repealed in 2016. And so somebody should have caught that and said, oh, you know, the act that was repealed in 2016 was replaced by an act that was enacted in 2020. So somebody should have said, we need to update our policies. And they didn't do it. And so the courts are basically saying, look, you drafted the policy, doesn't say what you wish it did, and we're going to hold you to what it actually does say. So this is what the judges pointed out in their ruling. The expression "and subsequent amendments" is not ambiguous and only describes amendments to the Quarantine Act. To suggest that the word "subsequent amendments" includes a new act is making it too far. Investor claim partner litigation funder John Walker describes the mess over the Quarantine Act wording as an absolute stuff-up by the insurance industry. If they did not intend to cover pandemics, then to a certain extent I feel sorry for them, but that does not alleviate their legal obligations to the insured. So again, I've talked about this before. You and I enter into a contract. Usually it's preceded by negotiations. The negotiations are to lay out the terms that we both agree on and to understand what we're both talking about. So if we have something we don't agree on, it could be that I want you to pay $10 and you want to pay $5. Okay, that's simple enough to figure out. But if I say I want to cover all this property over here, and you go, does this property over here include this property over here? I mean, that needs to be clear. What is it, this or this? Or is it both? And so those kinds of lack of clarity, those kinds need to be clarified. And if they're not clarified, then it comes down to, well, who's the one who screwed up drafting this? Now, if you and I are working on a contract, one of us gets to type it up. Typing it up means you can often slant stuff your way. But it also means that it's going to be construed against you if you make mistakes. And if something's ambiguous, it might be that, well, that ambiguity will be construed against you because you're the drafter of the contract. And that's generally what they're saying here, is that the insurance company drafts this contract that's yay thick. They're going to be held accountable for what's in it. And if there's an oversight, it's clearly their oversight. It's not the oversight of the person who signed the contract. So I understand that the parties here don't sit down and negotiate every single term in that boilerplate. But that boilerplate's been gone over by teams of attorneys. And if they missed it, whose fault is that? So it is seen by the insurance industry as a stuff-up, and they're wanting the insured to pay for their stuff-up. He is currently asking business owners with BI coverage to come forward and have their claims assessed with the long-term view that a class action may be filed if the insurance industry does not settle out of court. It's been 12 months since all this started. There's been negligible claims paid. It ought to change. But if the industry does start paying out more policies, the cost to it and investors could be astronomical. In an affidavit filed in court, the ICA estimated that roughly 250,000 small business owners have BI policies that could be impacted by legal actions, and the total sum of potential payouts covered by them is around $10 billion. IAG told the ASX this month that it has so far set aside $1.15 billion in pre-tax earnings as a provision for claim payouts, and the ICA's executive director, Andrew Hall, said money for those payouts had simply not been accounted for previously. So here's the thing. There have been situations in our history where there have been just huge catastrophes. And the question is, you know, can they cover the claims? And, you know, the famous example is with the San Francisco earthquake. Lloyd's of London was involved in a lot of those claims. And I understand that Lloyd's is not an insurance company. It's the house that, you know, these people all work with. But it's, you know, it's a group of underwriters and so on. And that became shorthand for the group of insurance companies that had insured much of San Francisco when the earthquake hit. The earthquake hit, caused a lot of damage, but then fires broke out and pretty much the entire city got wiped out. And word got back to Lloyd's and the various insurance companies that there had been a huge calamity in San Francisco. And they could have sat around and fought it back in the days when, you know, messages from San Francisco to London took a long time to travel. And instead, they sent over a telegram that said, in essence, pay all claims. It's a famous example. Now, when they said pay all claims, did they have any idea how big those claims were going to be? Probably not. But they just, you know, something, that's something we got to do. But unfortunately, it's changed over time. That was early 1900s. And so here we are over 100 years later. And I don't think that would happen today. So it's interesting, though, because it's a similar argument that the various restaurants and other businesses are making here in the United States. But the crazier part is that somebody actually filed a lawsuit in Australia and said, let's look at a test case and see what happens. And five judges came back and said, insurance company, pay him. So now what do they do? Because you know if the judges have gone the other way, the insurance company would go, oh, we're out of here, and that'd be the end of it. But now they ruled against them. Oh, no. That's not the end of it. That's just something we were checking to see if, you know, I don't know. What? So, interesting story. But out of Australia, Duncan, thanks for sending it. Thanks for checking in on Sunday's live stream. From abc.net.au, and Amelia Turzon wrote it. Insurance giants facing COVID-19 payout class action after stuff up with contract fine print. Thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Those. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. I have no methods. All I do is accept people as they are.